Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Hey, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I am Michelle Berkowitz, your host today of Women Lead Radio, and I am stepping in for Shawn Marie Curry, who typically talks about the idea that business is personal and what you do and how you do it matters. Today, however, I am delighted to say that I get to interview our leading lady today, who's someone we've been trying to get on our show for a while. And I'm delighted to introduce Sheila Ronning, who is the CEO and founder of Women in the Boardroom. This is our topic today, which is women in the boardroom, or should I say the lack of women in the boardroom. And I want to say good morning and welcome. Sheila, say hello to all of our listeners this morning.
Well, hello, everybody. I'm so thrilled to be here. Thank you so much, Michelle.
Oh, my gosh, I'm so excited to interview you, Sheila, because, you know, I mean, and this is, to me, right off the bat, it's amazing to me. You know, I think to myself, all the statistics, women have evolved. It's like, you know, we're graduating at, you know, just great percentages from colleges and universities, and women are, you know, moving into, quote-unquote, middle management, right? But still, we see such a lack of women in the boardroom, and I'm just curious, let's start off with what are a few of the reasons as you see it, and I know your services and all the things you do help women get in the boardroom, but what's the reason for such little numbers still today?
Well, you know, I love that you start out with that question, because I will tell you, I do not focus on that number, and the reason why, I don't even pay attention to it, right? Obviously, you can't help but pay attention to it when you're in the, you're like, what? You do know that's the space you're in, right? But listen, that number is talked about all the time, but the research, the number, what the media focuses on is only the Fortune 500 boards, right? And so it's not an accurate number, and it's not like the accurate one is really that great anyway, but we don't even know what the accurate one is. I don't focus on that number because, one, it isn't all companies. I mean, there's thousands and thousands of other types of companies out there, you know, smaller public boards, you know, let's not forget the privately held company boards, and it doesn't even talk about, you know, the for-profit advisory boards, which a lot of major companies, you know, do have advisory boards too, which is a great place to start. It's all about being realistic in what size of company you're qualified for. And there really isn't that many women who are qualified for Fortune 500 boards, because those boards are still using search firms. Those boards are, which search firms, you know, it's, they're only filling less than, you know, 15% of all board seats. But, hey, they're still only – they're being lazy in their job, and they're only going looking at the people who are already serving on corporate boards anyway. So they're really not looking at women, you know, because they don't want to have to actually do work. Sorry, search firms, but you know it's true. And then there's just – there's – those companies, those boards are still looking for sitting CEOs or like a sitting CFO or at least a C-suite in a Fortune 500 to even be on those boards. And we know that there's not enough women in those seats in the first place.
You know, I got to say thank you to you, because honestly, it's like, you know, we pay attention just like you do with your organization. You know, in our association, we look at, you know, what are the percentages. You know, Catalyst, which is that wonderful New York-based research firm that puts out information on trends of women and leadership and advancement and all that. And it just, I mean, it just sticks there at like, you know, 17% or some insane number.
Yeah.
And you know, if we move on from that, I think that's a great answer, is that you're right. The Fortune 500, maybe the numbers are skewed, but let's back up a little. And I think, you know, for a lot of our listeners, they really don't even know that there's opportunities for them to serve on board. So can you
exactly.
kind of, I mean, I know we've only got a half hour, but broad brush the opportunities that are there for women if they choose to put in a process and a plan to serve on either a corporate or
yeah.
a nonprofit board, if you can.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first of all, I do only focus on the for-profit, and, you know, I always say, hey, I have no desire to help women volunteer one more minute of their time. It's not, you know, you're good on your own on that, right? I would like to actually help you get paid to serve on those boards. It's not that I ever want women to stop doing their charitable work. That's, I mean, come on, that is not what I'm saying. But if you want to use a nonprofit board, you know, to help advance you to that corporate boardroom, you know, one, you need to make sure it's a large nonprofit board. You need to make sure that it's a well-run nonprofit board so that you're learning good corporate governance. You know, you need to make sure that you're taking a leadership role, right? And that you're actually showing up to the meetings because, of course, we've all been on those nonprofit boards where people decide, I'm going to just, you know, use that to put on my resume and never show up.
Right.
You need to make sure you're passionate about the mission. You definitely need to know before you get on that board what the give and get is. And listen, I'm originally from the Midwest, and I will tell you, serving on a nonprofit board in New York is a whole different beast than it is serving in the Midwest. Where here, you typically have to, you know, you have to write out a $10,000 check before you can even get on that nonprofit. So you need to know what the expectations are ahead of time, whether you have to write the check out or you have to go fundraise for $100,000. But also it's important to know what that time commitment is, how long, you know, how many years they want you on that board. Is it 5 hours a week or 5 hours a month? There's a big difference. And you need to make sure that there's men sitting at that table, right?
Well, yeah, and that leads to, I guess, more questions. And I know, you know, from the standpoint of step one, let's say, you know, for our listeners who are executive women and corporate women and women who work for companies along with women owners, I mean, where do you even start? I mean, if you are somebody that is involved in your community, you're a pro at what you do, does it stem from being that you should serve on a nonprofit board first and that leads to corporate board? Okay, what are the first steps
that
our listeners
and that,
need to know about?
And I just kind of gave the overview, too. If you want, if you feel like you do need to serve on a nonprofit board just to even gain knowledge, those were kind of my rules of what type of nonprofit, right? And make sure you know, know what the expectations are. But, no, you know, putting a nonprofit on your resume is not going to help you get onto a corporate board. But if you want to learn from that nonprofit board, those were the kind of the rules. So where do you start? You want to make sure that one, you do need to know what are the different types of boards that I'm even qualified for. And that's why it's important not to focus on those research numbers because usually not everybody's qualified for those boards. And it can seem very uninspiring, right?
Right.
So first of all, you do need to have, you know, a board portfolio, right? So let's not spend too much time on what these are because you can Google them, but it's a board bio, a professional profile, that really highlight your background for board positioning, right? And you need to know kind of your elevator pitch of, okay, am I interested in serving on a public or a private board? What are the industries? What's my value add? So you need to know what your skill set is that you can bring to that board. So you put you have your board portfolio, you have that put together. And then you need to start reaching out to your network. And, you know, you're reaching out to those people that are influencers and connectors in your life. You know, influencers are obviously people who have the influence to affect a decision. Connectors are people who are extremely well-connected. And, you know, they are just energized by connecting people. So you start reaching out to your network and letting them know that you're interested in serving on a corporate board. But you don't just say, hey, I'm interested in serving on a corporate board. You need to be very specific about what it is that you're looking for. I always say that, you know, your network, they want to help you, but you need to help them help you by giving them specific information.
Well, you know, and that leads to, I guess, you know, we're going layers, so I'm going to be all over the place. But, you know, when people say you need to have a network, one of the kind of phrases I always love to say is nobody wants to network, you know, anymore, but they all want a network. And, you know, it's kind of gotten to this point where people go, well, who's the right people to network with? When you say influencers, can you share a little more? I mean, should you get involved in certain associations or should you hang with a certain mm-hmm. crowd? What do you mean by influencers?
Well, I said influencers and connectors, right? And I know that, you know, whenever you bring up networking to people, they kind of like cringe, right? But
yeah, a little bit, yeah.
The thing is that the networking piece, it doesn't mean that you have to go out and meet 50 new people per month. It really is all about connecting with the right people who are already in your network. And, yeah, of course you're going to meet new people as you go along, but it's really all about maintaining those relationships with people you already have. So, yes, what are influencers and connectors? You know, and by the way, these people do not already have to be sitting on corporate boards. They, of course, if they are, great, but they could be CPAs, bankers, lawyers that you know. Typically, those types of people will know when their client has a board opening. So it could be those types of people. What was that?
I said, now you're talking, because now it's like you can identify people that learn of open board seats, right? That's kind of where you're going with that. Yeah,
exactly. Right. Yeah, and so, you know, we teach them who to, you know, reach out to in their network, how to reach out to them, because that's very important, what to say, again, very important, and then how to really maintain that relationship with those people so that you don't lose touch with them without it being a me thing, right? I mean, how many times have you known, let's say, Joe, you've known him for 15 years, but you haven't talked to him in 3 or 4 years. And then all of a sudden you run into him and you're like, oh my gosh, I can't believe I haven't talked to Joe in so many years, right? But yet he's this influencer type guy. So we help you, you know, we have a very structured networking process that we have our members go through to be able to do that. And that is how you're going to get onto your corporate board, is through your own network.
Well, and let's back up even a little more. I know this is a service and a business that you provide of helping women get on boards, right?
Yes.
What can you just share with our listeners here? It's like, what was your background? Did you serve on the board? Can you kind of share your experience with how you got to provide these types of services and run women in the boardroom? Because it's, you know,
right.
I mean, I've known of you for quite a while, and I see your success when you talk about other women that you have helped place on boards, but you know,
I do not use that word place because we're not a search firm. So I wouldn't have slammed us in the beginning if I was a search firm, right? No, absolutely. So, you know, 13, 14 years ago I started Women in the Boardroom. At that time, I mean, the reason why I started it, I wish I had some really sexy story for you, but it really was because I was an entrepreneur and I'd created this huge, you know, business-to-business networking event that became very popular, had lots of people in the room, and my mentor came to me and said, you're so good with getting people in the room. I really would love it if you would start some event that helped women get onto corporate boards. And, you know, that's how it all started. And thank goodness I'm smart enough to listen to that amazing mentor of mine. Started it, had this, so I was having this annual event in Minneapolis, by the way. And, you know, all of a sudden we were getting like 600 women in the room and started taking it to other cities. Let's say, 2006, started taking it to other cities. And by 2010, we were in 15 cities across the U.S. So that really is, you know, so at one point it was like for the first 9 years of having women in the boardroom, we were doing this 15-city tour, reaching everybody, 200 to 300 of, you know, the best and the brightest board directors were speaking at our event. I end up taking out all of that knowledge that I was learning at those, you know, panel presentations and creating this platform for our membership program now. Because women, I would have women come up to me and say, great event, but you know what, I'm really serious about getting onto a corporate board, and I need more than just an annual event to go to. So that's why we now have our membership program. And so we're working one-on-one with women. I mean, we do now, you know, we've been now in our membership platform program for over 5 years, so now we know one size does not fit all. So some women don't need the one-on-one coaching, you know, because at first it was we were working with aspiring corporate directors, and then even though we're not a search firm, we do get in board openings from companies and have had over, you know, 95 board openings come to us in the last few years, and I know that makes search firms drool, but whatever. So we have more and more women who come to us now that are already serving on boards. So now we have a couple of different tiered memberships. So yes, that's what we do, is we really work towards helping these women go out and get their own seat.
Well, and what do you think are the biggest, you know, I mean, if you can, I know this is a broad brush, and you'll go like, well, Michelle, it depends, but what are some of the biggest, you know, I guess, talents or expertise or things that, you know, boards look for when they bring in a female board member? I mean, are there, is it just depending on where the holes are on the board of directors, or can you give some advice for our listeners? And
yeah.
How do they package their services, and what do boards look for to bring on new board members?
So, great question, because, you know, a lot of times when you look at just the research on the Fortune 500, right, they're still thinking, oh, they're still looking for the, you know, the financial expert. And that's absolutely not true, because we've gotten in so many board openings and we see what they want. We know that it's all over the place. I mean, some of the, you know, listen, I always have people saying, well, you know, the skill sets, what are the skills, you know, that boards are looking for? I mean, if you're a turnaround specialist, a global growth specialist, yes, a financial services expert, sure, of course. But if you're an entrepreneur, our operational expert, marketing and communications expert, private and data security expert, innovative leader, I mean, you know, corporate governance authority or digital expert, there's so many things that boards are looking for now. And, you know, what do we need on our board? And any board, any company that has a really well-run board, that board will have a matrix, right? They'll say, okay, this is what we need to hit our goals in, you know, 3 to 5 years. These are the skill sets we need, and then here's what we have. But then also hopefully they have on that matrix a few other things, such as, well, do we have gender diversity here? Do we have age? Do we have, you know, race? I mean, you have to have the diversity of thought on your board, right? So hopefully that board, but first and foremost, it has to be the skill set.
Do you find that step one might be for a woman to kind of look at a company and find out, number one, how would a woman go research for a board? I mean, she looks online, you know, she hears about the business through networking, but is there another kind of like old-fashioned do-it-yourself way that a professional woman or executive woman can go search to find out what companies have boards? Is there a place for them to go that you can share resources?
Wait. You're saying research the woman could do to find out if a company has a board?
To find out, and if there's a place for her to serve. Like, as an example,
well,
if you're a marketing expert.
Okay, well, most companies do have boards, right? If you're a public company, you absolutely do. You have to have a board. I wouldn't waste my time doing that research. Only small companies wouldn't have boards, but there's no place where board openings are posted, by the way, right? There's a lot of companies out there that say, this has been popping up a lot over the last couple of years, where they'll say, you know, come and you can pay the subscription fee and you can be listed in our database for companies that are looking for board members, right? I don't know of any companies that would just go to some online database for board members. I mean, at the end of the day, it's all these board members sitting around the table saying, well, who do you know? Who do you know? It's somebody within their network that they're going to have serve on that board. So it is.
I think where I was going, Sheila, there's women who have an interest in certain things. And even though I know there's money involved by being a corporate board member, one of the things I've heard from women is I'm not really excited about that company to serve on that board, right? So a small up-and-coming, you know, corporation or something like that. So what would be some steps maybe that you could share of how a woman could go and try to research what type of company
on what board, or is that even something that's done? I mean, I know I'm kind of coming wackadoodle at you, but I'm thinking, gosh, you know, is it just the money that attracts women, or is it the mission of the organization? You know, how do they find that, you know, just the nice marriage between their expertise and that then they're interested in being on that board for what the company does?
Okay, can you just ask me the question one more time then?
Sure. I think that's what I'm saying is, how does a woman go research to find the board that's the right fit for them? You know, I do understand the companies that are not the big companies, but the smaller firms have their board members listed on their website, you know, and they'll kind of talk about the expertise of their board members. Is there any other way to go research for you, for a woman, to find the right board for them, or do they have to go through like a service like yours through coaching?
No, they don't have to. No, absolutely not.
Then what would they do?
Right, but okay, so the question you're asking me is, can they go research and find some company? Well, that's a really long way to go do it versus working their network versus, I mean, because they're, so you're wanting to, of course they can go research anything, you know, the internet's a great thing, right? So yeah, they could absolutely go and research a company that they wanted to serve on the board for, and then they could see who the board members are, and they could go and see if they're connected through them, with them on LinkedIn. Yeah.
Because that's what I was kind of thinking. But then, you know, I know you said that the board, you know, being able to serve on a board is a process. So is it most 9 times out of 10 you need to be invited to be serving on a board? Is that's how it works?
Yeah, absolutely.
You learn
about it, that's the only way you're going to serve on the board is to be invited. Yes.
What kind of process do they take you through? Do they do a series of interviews, or what would be the process like that you could share with our listeners?
Yeah. Well, every company will be different for sure.
Okay.
You could be contacted by a search firm, or you could be contacted by one of the board members, or you could be contacted by the CEO of that company. But absolutely, you're going to go through many, many interviews. So you do need to make sure that you're prepared and know as much about that company before you go and have the first conversation. Yep.
And what else? I mean, what else do they need to know? What kind of questions are they going to ask them? Are they going to ask them about their background? We're getting in the knickers here, Sheila. I want to get a little.
You are.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
it doubles in the details.
I'm pretty sure that, you know, most of your listeners, though, it's like, yes, you want to know those details, but they'll want to know more, you know, big picture of like, how do I even get myself prepared to even get to that step, right? But yes, you absolutely need to know going in, you need to, of course, have those board documents, because that's what you're going to give them to show. They're going to totally check you out before they even have a conversation with you. So, you know, make sure that your LinkedIn is up to date and has, you know, looks good. I mean, for many reasons, not just for potential board opportunities, but a lot of people just go basically right off of what LinkedIn, you know, what you have on your LinkedIn profile. But yeah, you'll need to have done some due diligence on that company and make sure that you even want to be, you know, aligned with them. Make sure that there's nothing that will pop up that will damage your reputation for being involved with that company or any of the other board members, right?
No, I get it. And it's like, I think, you know, and again, I know I'm getting real specific, like in your experience with some of these women that you coach, it's like, what are some of the questions they ask you? You know, are they asking you, I mean, I know you have you talk about your board portfolio. What do they ask you about your background? Do they ask you about your opinion? What are some of the questions that, you know, you
All
might be
those,
taken through?
Absolutely. Yes. You know, I'm sorry, I don't have our interview questions handy with me right at the time, but they're going to go very in-depth on, you know, what is, they're really trying to make sure that it's a good chemistry fit as well, right? That's a good cultural fit. I mean, you are spending a lot of time with these people, you know, it's the top job of the company, right? So you're spending a lot of time. So it's very important that you make sure that this person is going to be a good cultural fit with the other board members. I mean, they're already going to dug into your background to make sure that you have the skill set. And so it's different from a job interview, right? it's going to be much more high level, and it's going to be much more about, you know, wanting to know our, what are the questions you're going to be asking in the interview. They're going to be paying attention to that and making sure that you are asking questions. Otherwise, well, how interested are you, right? And then also they're going to find out how much do you already know about the company, how invested have you been in doing your due diligence to find out about the company.
Right. You know, and I know so many of our listeners might not know, I mean, I think they know that there's money involved by serving on a corporate board, but besides the money, maybe you could share just, I don't know if there's general, what does a board director make, you know, for serving on the board? I know it's all across, I'm
well,
sure.
Well, let's talk
many...
more about why would they want to serve on a corporate board. I mean, I can give you some, you know, stats on that. I mean, all public companies
sure.
have their...
You got a couple of minutes, so yeah.
Yeah, the... You know, what they make from serving on a board is all on, in the proxy of a public company. But, you know, people are not going and serving on corporate boards just for the money. They're doing it. I always say, listen, our VIP members, the women in the boardroom, are what we call life learners. They just have no time. They have no desire to one time, you know, one day retire and be full-time gardeners, you know. They love that intellectual challenge of sitting at the table with other really smart people and learning all about a new company in a new industry and bringing their background and helping that company get to the next level, right? So it's a great career booster, you know, a great resume booster. And but, you know, yes. So public boards, the, you know, you can be paid either in cash and or stock. And it's really all over the place depending on what size of board there is. But if it's a $1 billion in annual revenue, usually it's $75,000 to $200,000. If it's, you know, up to about $5 billion, the average is $250,000. Well above $5 billion, compensation can reach $500,000 or higher. Now, again, you know, that could be divided between cash and stock. Now, private companies, larger, well-established companies, could mirror that of a public comp plan. Medium and small privately held companies will range from $15,000 to $40,000 per year. Advisory boards, again, if they're a privately held company, it's just that information's private. So it's just, it's a little bit harder to find. But advisory boards could be any, they pay all over the place, ranging from, like, it could be $250 per meeting, $1,500 per meeting. It could be $5,000 per meeting. It could be that you're going to an annual strategic planning session that pays you $15,000. And just to briefly touch on nonprofits, usually they do not compensate. We have had a few nonprofits come to us that do pay, but typically you are paying to be on that nonprofit.
Right, got it. You know, are there, and again, we've only got a couple minutes left. I know this is such a big topic. So first of all, thank you, because I know we kind of went down little rabbit holes. But, you know, for our listeners, if they want to reach you and talk about you and your services and the coaching and the consulting and the help that you do to help women serve on boards, how do you want people to reach you if they want to raise your hand and get in touch with you?
Yeah, they could email me at sronning, R-O-N-N-I-N-G, at womeninTheBoardroom.com. They can look at our website, womeninTheBoardroom.com. I know on our membership page, we have a link to a video that gives a really good overview of who we are and what we do. So they could listen to that as well.
Cool. And then, you know, just, I guess, another big topic. We have national listeners, so women in, you know, California and, you know, not as many in the Midwest, I have to admit. And by the way, I'm from the Midwest, proudly. We're both Midwest girls. But, you know, are there any, like, other resources that you might recommend to our listeners if they're in that thinking, you know, now we've struck a spark and they're thinking, gosh, I want to check into this. Besides your organization, would there be any other resources you might share of where women can turn to find out, you know, more about how to serve on a board, books or resources online?
We have tons of resources listed on our website of different books. But, you know, they could also join our LinkedIn group. I mean, it's a great place to go and learn, you know, and that it's free, right? So go check it out.
Love it. What's your LinkedIn group, just to share with everybody?
It's Women in the Boardroom.
Women, that doesn't that fit? That's really nice branding. That's pretty good, girl. I like that.
Yeah, we don't want to make it too complicated, right? Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's it, exactly. Keep it simple, stupid, right? That's what I always say. At least that's what my mom always said. My mom said that.
Yeah.
You know, what needs to happen in your mind? You know, Sheila, I always love to kind of end the show and kind of look out at the future. And, you know, I think you're serving just a great need, you know, that, you know, one, women don't know about as much as they should. And two, you know, it is a lengthy, tedious, and sometimes complicated process from the women I know that have served on boards. And some of them have gone through placement, you know, services like Haskell and White and that kind of thing out here. But what do you see that needs to change in the future? Is it that women need to get their board, you know, kind of game plan on? Or what do women need to do? Or do they even want to serve more on boards? What's your take on the future and what needs to happen so that we see that percentage of board seats change to more female board members?
Well, I mean, that's a very open-ended question, Michelle. But, I mean, it's, you know, really, they do need to just go for it. If they are interested in serving on a corporate board, they just need to go for it. Do the work. Make sure you have your board documents done and network. You know, I always like to hand out these little, whenever I'm speaking, is to hand out like these, what can you do now to get yourself ready? One, it's like, you know, you need to know why you want to serve. You develop a plan of action. Have those board documents. Know your value proposition. You know, make sure you're keeping that personal brand on point, right? You need to make sure that you have an excellent reputation in your main job and industry. Always bring your A game to whatever you do. People are watching. Educate yourself on board responsibilities. If you have no board experience, consider hospital boards, government commissions, or committees. Talk with entrepreneurs you know and volunteer to serve on their advisory boards. You know, be in it for the long haul. There's no quick way into the boardroom. You know, how much time are you willing to, you know, and willing and able to dedicate each month to do the work? I always say if you don't have 5 hours a month to dedicate to it, don't do it. And then tell people you want to be on a board, but be very specific about what type of board.
I know. I think that's the most amazing wrap-up. So that was a great little list. And I'm sorry our time was so short, but Sheila, thank you for all your information. And that's our show for today. I want to say thank you, Sheila, for being our leading lady, and to all of our listeners, as we just love that we've been growing our national reach online for Women Lead Radio. So I hope you'll tune in again, because next week our leading lady will be Sherry Petro, who's the president and speaker of VTI Strategies. Our topic will be on generational understanding and connecting. And again, I'm Michelle Berquist, your host, stepping in for Sean Marie Turry today. Thank you for listening. And to all of our listeners, I always like to say, please go out there and be an advocate for other women. Have a great week.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused, business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.